We just got back from Rio, where we earned a quota place for GB in the synchronized swimming duet event for to hopefully go to the games in Rio in the summer. It is 2016.
Yeah. This summer. So they held the qualifiers in Rio. So you got to get to go to Rio already.
Yeah, it was really exciting. It's obviously at the pool that the games will be held at.
Yeah.
So it was a really good opportunity to practice there and see what it's like. We didn't unfortunately get much time to look around, but hopefully if I get selected, I'll be able to have a bit more of a look around Rio in the summer.
Yeah, you'll have a little bit more time, because your story's quite interesting, Olivia, because I'm reliably informed that you retired from synchronized swimming in 2013. So what happened?
So I retired. I'd been doing it since I was 16 for 8 years, full-time training, 8 to 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. So I kind of needed a break. I thought I'd kind of had enough, really, but kind of over the last 2 years, having like a normal life, I just started to miss it and kind of regain my love for the sport. So thought I'd trial in November, and it's been really exciting since. I'm absolutely loving being back in the sport. It's really exciting.
Is it harder since you've come back?
To regain my fit. I mean, I literally did nothing. General kind of gym fitness, but I do my synchro at all. So synchro is ridiculously hard. So getting that back, and obviously we needed to get back very quickly, was tough. But both me and Katie have been training really hard, and we've made so much improvement. Our first competition was in February, and just from there, like our scores and people talking, we've really, really improved, and it's really exciting for if we get selected to go in the summer.
It's like you say, synchronized swimming is hard. From an outsider's point of view, it looks unbelievably difficult, because there must be so much you've got to think about, and you're spinning around upside down in underwater at the same while you're having to think about it. It just looks. I personally think it looks impossible. I don't think I could. I have problems doing a handstand underwater. So how you do that, I don't know. What got you into it?
My mum always did swimming, and my sister kind of started just as a hobby, and I wasn't old enough, so I had to kind of wait and watch my sister do it, and so I was just excited to try it myself, and it kind of just stuck, really. I mean, it's such a great sport because it's so challenging and hard, which is like a great part of it, but then you've got that team aspect, which is, I think, is really important, and makes it more enjoyable, especially as when you're younger, and it's kind of a social thing as well.
How do you time everything right? Because I imagine you can't really hear the music when you're underwater.
Oh, well, yeah, we have underwater speakers, so you can hear all the time. It's really clear, yeah.
I didn't know
you're
that.
Counting. Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's cool. You can hear it completely clearly.
Really, completely clearly?
Yeah. Well, it depends how good the sound system is, but yeah, completely clear.
I didn't. I must admit, I saw someone wearing when I went swimming a couple of weeks ago, and they were wearing like headphones, underwater headphones, but they were like attached to their skull, and apparently just the vibrations on the skull was all they needed for the music. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
We actually use those because at competition, your music time that you get to practice with is really limited. So in our warm-up before we compete, we use those and we like put them on at the same time so that we can keep warming up prior to the event.
That's clever, isn't it? What's the hardest thing to do? I mean, because it all looks hard from our point of view, but of all of the sort of things you do while you're in the water, what's the one, if you know it's coming up, you're thinking, oh, no.
You're constantly trying to get as high out of the water as possible.
Yeah.
So that's obviously very difficult because when you're upside down, you're working your arms ridiculously hard while your legs are moving.
Yeah.
Thinking about, I think it's kind of what you said, like thinking of the actual, I don't know. By the time, it's just so hard. You're thinking about so many things. Obviously, you're not breathing. So your oxygen creates so much lactic acid in your muscles. So, you know, by the end, you're fighting this burning, that absolute burning pain, but you have to make it look completely effortless, completely in time, and doing all these difficult moves, trying to get your body as high out of the water, technically trying to be, you know, spins and stuff when you spin down and have to be perfectly straight. There's so much to think about, and it has to look like it's nothing, like it's completely easy. So quite different to other sports where, you know, say a sprinter, you know, it doesn't matter what they look like, they could be gritting their teeth and, you know, it doesn't matter how they look like when they're fighting that pain. But yeah, synchro has to make it look like it's a breeze.
Yeah, that's the thing. You make it look really, really easy. So you say, you obviously you hold your breath for long periods of time. So do you train yourself to hold your breath for the duration of the performance?
Well, we do lots of, like, so in our warm-up, we'll do lots of lengths underwater to get our lungs warmed up. And then your body kind of just, you know that you can't come up, so you don't come up. You know, as we make up the routines, you're practicing that length of time underwater.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you start adapting, but, you can't come up, so you know you have to stay under.
It sounds so difficult because you're using so many aspects of different sports as well. You've got swimming, gymnastics, dance, probably other things as well, the way that you control your breathing. It sounds really difficult.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a challenge.
Well, it is a challenge. Yeah, definitely. The other thing is, you make it look effortless and everything. You whenever your head comes out of the water, there's a big beaming smile on your face. Is your smile on your face all the way through, or do you just like as soon as you know your head's coming out of the water, you just go cha-ching, and you're there?
Well, it actually depends on what the theme of the music and like what you're trying to put across for your artistic score. So, for example, for our free duet, we don't do as much smiling. It's more quite intense because it's quite dark. The theme is like snakes.
Okay.
So we don't always smile, but the presentation on your face always has to be there when you come up, because you're portraying that artistic story to the judges. So, yeah, kind of just before I come up, I'm thinking about what presentation I need to be doing, and it needs to be real, like, because they need to fit, you know, you need to draw them in, they need to feel it. So
I'd imagine you're training for this, and you say it was a bit of a shock when you came out of retirement and started the training again. All the time you hear about swimmers getting up at ridiculous hours, like breakfast presenters getting up at ridiculous hours to go to the swimming pool. How many hours of training a day, Olivia, do you have to put in?
We do 6 to 8 hours a day.
Wow.
It's a little bit, yeah, we get, it's quite tough. So I get up, because we used to be completely centralised, so I lived like 8 minutes from the pool, but now because I live sort of around the M25, it takes me like an hour and a half to 2 hours to get there, so I have to get out quite early to get there at to start at 8, so and then in the winter it's hard because obviously you go in when it's like dark and then you come out when it's dark, so it's definitely worth it.
Listen, you've got to take our hats off to you, because not only are you on the just nearly at as long as they announce Team GB and you're in there, you're nearly there, but when you come back from retirement, you've done this without funding and qualify for Rio without funding. That must have put even more pressure on you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not, as you say, I'm not personally funded at all, so I don't personally get anything. But luckily, we have some funding for our programme from Sport England, and, you know, support from British Swimming and ASA, which makes it possible for us to train together, because obviously we have to train together as a team and as a duet. So that really, really helps. Yeah, it's been, I don't know, exciting. It made, you know, having a break has made me, it's very easy to feel like, why I'm doing this again. It's so exciting. Me and Katie are working really, really hard. And the other duet squad swimmers, Genevieve and Jodie, and, you know, whoever gets selected, we're fighting. And hopefully, you know, if we can keep on improving and, you know, they approve that we can go, hopefully, you know, we'll just get more support back for synchro.
Yeah, fingers crossed for that. And if people want to have a go at synchronized swimming, you can do actually in Leeds, because it's at the John Charles Centre, where a lot of the Leeds
divers. Yeah, they've got a great club.
They've got a great club there, haven't they?
Leeds have got a good club.
For, you know, if people fancy having a go at it, my 3.5-year-old daughter's just learning to swim at the moment. So I'm thinking, at what age do you think, Olivia, should one need to get her to swim first? And then what age should I be a pushy dad and pushing her into synchronized swimming?
Well, they can usually start, I think, from about six. Generally when clubs take them. And they usually have to have like certain levels of swimming. But it's all about having fun. Like, me and my sister just used to go and play in the pool, and that's why kind of synchro appealed to us. And,
yeah.
And you know, not just for girls, for boys as well. Like, it's really exciting that now at World Championships they've got finally got men's events in there and mixed pairs events. So yeah, for anyone, definitely go and try it. It's a great sport, you know, even just for fun, and then you might find out that actually you want to take it further and take it a bit more seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Olivia, listen, best of luck. We'll catch up with you again, I'm sure, before Rio, but best of luck ahead, and fingers crossed that Team GD do the right thing and you get to go with Katie over to Rio. Thank you so much for joining us on Radio Yorkshire this morning.
Thank you ever so much for having me. Thanks.